tuned in to The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata at Black Hollywood Live, BHL's number one source for all things cinema. Carla shoots straight from the hip with what's hot and what's not in the box office, the latest film news, and talent from above and below the line. And let's get into it with your girl right now. This is The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata. I am your host, Carla Renata. And if this is your first time joining me, baby, you are in for a treat. So I tell you what, click that subscribe button below to make sure you join me every Sunday, a little after the 5 o'clock hour. And I'll be right here telling you the latest and the greatest regarding film news, interviews, and whatnot. So, you know, some of us have been sick and shut in. Some of us have just been shut in. I don't know about y'all, but I've gotten a lot of stuff done around my house. I cleaned up my office. I redid my office. I'm about to clean up my room, which I'm sure I won't be sleeping in it for a couple of days because there's a lot of stuff up in there. But anyway, I got some really good things for y'all today. I have an interview on Uncorked, which is playing on Netflix. I have an interview on Crip Camp, which I saw at Sundance. What else do I have for y'all? Oh, I have a old interview that I did with Prentice Penny, who's the writer, director, and producer of Uncorked, that I thought would just be a little fun. There's a movie on Amazon right now called Blow the Man Down, starring Margot Martindale. I have an interview with her. I also have some information on a film called Tape, and I'll tell you about all of those in just a minute moving forward. But I just want to check in with y'all and see how your week is going and tell you about how my week was going. I told you mostly with what I did. I've been trying to just get stuff around my house together that I haven't had the opportunity to do. And I woke up this morning and I saw, not a quote, but I saw somebody post a picture that said, instead of being stuck at home, you're safe at home. And that really, really resonated with me. And I'd rather be safe at home with no one else but my mom. My mom celebrated her 81st birthday this week, so that was exciting. And then the day after, we got a nice little dinner sent in from Amazon Studios to promote their film that I mentioned before, Blow the Man Down. So let's get right into it, y'all, and tell you what's happening. Oh, I also have a little snippet from an interview with Tashina Arnold. So one of the film critic organizations I belong to is called AFCA. And AFCA did a virtual roundtable, one of the first ones that I had seen since we started doing this virtual thing. And the answer that she's giving is an answer to a question that I posed to her. But I'll tell you what that is a little bit later. So let's just get right into it, shall we? And listen, I know some of y'all don't want to laugh. I know some of y'all ain't trying to hear about no movies. But when I'm down and out, my go-to thing to do would be to go get a manicure and a pedicure. Or get a massage or something that was, you know, a beauty thing. But since I'm unable to do that, you know, I want to make you laugh and bring you some movies and tell you what to stream or what I think, you know, you might enjoy streaming. I tell you what to stream. But honey, and before I get into this first review, I know I keep saying I'm going to get into it, but then I think about something else I want to say. Let me tell you something. The thing that made me tee-hee-hee in my free time when I was just thinking to myself was, we're going to find out real quick what everybody's real hair color looked like. We gonna see folks' nails. We won't see their feet, thank goodness, but there's a whole bunch of people that are in some bad needs of manicures and pedicures, myself included. We gonna see people ain't got no lashes because they can't get their lashes done. They can't get their eyebrows done. Folk gonna be growing beards and mustaches. It's about to be off and cracking for my females. But listen, honey, this is not a this you there couldn't be a better time in history for y'all to learn how to do your own stuff and learn how to maintain in between. I'm just saying. So now that I've said that, if any of you were like me, you could have used a nice little cocktail. Oh, and that's another thing. So I know a lot of us are snacking out of boredom, but trust and believe, them snacks gonna show up on your butt. They're gonna show up on your hip. They're gonna be in your breasts. So, you know, try to find a way at least for like at least 20 minutes a day to try to do some type of exercise. I'm telling you that because I need to remind myself of that, because my behind is spreading from here to Mars. I'm just saying, my butt is from here to Mars. So I'm going to stop snacking. As you can see from my arms, it's like, whoop, whoop, whoop. Anyway, let me stop. Let me stop playing. All right. So Uncorked. Uncorked is written, produced, and directed by Prentice Penny. And you guys might know Prentice Penny from being a writer on Girlfriends, Scrubs, Insecure, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He has a thing in development right now called The Compton Cowboys with Searchlight Pictures, and it's based on a book by Walter Thompson Hernandez. It's a book about riding horses at a ranch in Compton. I know, a ranch in Compton that changed lives for young men and older men for over 30 years. I can't wait to see that. But until then, here's that little clip from Prentice Penny that we did a couple of years ago at the Paley Center when we were talking to Black showrunners about their shows. And this is Prentice talking to me a little bit about Insecure. And it was right before Black Panther dropped. Take a look.
All right, I'm here with Prentice from one of my favorite shows, Insecure. I cannot handle y'all right now.
Why not? We doing the most?
Y'all are doing the most. I got two words for you, the league.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's I'm like that. Like, I watch the show like that.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
All right.
African-American showrunners, we're seeing a huge insurge of them right now. How exciting is that for you?
It's great. I mean, you know, I grew up at a time, certainly when I didn't even know that there were showrunners, and certainly I always assumed that they were white, you know, obviously, you know, back then. But now to see that, you know, our shows are being created for us, by us, literally, it's just great. I hope it just continues.
And what can we look for on Insecure? Because I already gave away some stuff for people who haven't seen season one about the league, but,
okay,
you know.
Okay.
What can we look for in the next season? I know you can give us some kind of tidbit. Come on now.
I will say you're going to see some new characters. You're going to see characters that you didn't realize were maybe that important actually come to the forefront. You know, a lot of things have changed. Like Issa's moved out of the dunes. Molly left her law firm. So there's a lot of new changes where Issa's living now. You know, so there's going to be a lot of like fun things to see this year. Some characters you maybe got accustomed to, you know, having different roles. And so I'm just excited to bring new life and new energy to the show, for sure.
Now, we're in Black History Month.
Uh-huh.
We got the Black Panther coming out. You got your tickets?
Saturday. Me and the wife. That's our Valentine's Day. Celebrating Black love in Wakanda.
We're back. That was hilarious. And I told you it was a short clip. But anyway, let's get into, and thank you, Prentice Penny, for giving me that time on the carpet that day. I really appreciated you for that. So let's get into it. Uncorked is, a lot of people, because of the title, naturally assume that it's a movie about wine. A large portion of the film deals with wine, but it's mostly about a family and how a family handles one family member in particular when their dream doesn't look like the dream that they have for them, right? So I'm sure that there are some people watching this whose families wanted them to be a doctor or wanted them to be a lawyer or wanted them to be anything but what they are right now. And I know that that journey was not a hard journey to go on. You know, my mom would have loved if I had been anything else other than an actress, simply because she knew, more so than I did at the time, that it was going to be a harder road than I had anticipated. But I don't regret one minute of it. And the young man in the movie doesn't regret a minute of it either. He wants to become a sommelier. And for those of you that don't know what a sommelier is a person who is an expert in wine. And when I say an expert in wine, I mean in terms of the taste, the smell, the body of the wine, how it goes down the throat, all those types of things. And that is a gift. Let me tell you something. When I watched Uncorked, I didn't realize how much of a gift and how much knowledge and book learning there went into that. I mean, it was absolutely fascinating. Niecy Nash is in it. Courtney B. Vance are starring in it. They play the mom and the dad. It's hilarious. It's really funny. It's a heartwarming family story. Everybody in the family can watch this. It's not an adult themed film. Everybody in the movie could watch it, except for one little section. I don't think you want the kids to watch that. But you get to see some beautiful parts of France. It made me want to go to France. And it also reminded me of how unfortunate it is right now that people can't even travel. You can't even see other places in the world other than virtually online. But there's that. it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful film. It's called Uncorked. It's streaming right now on Netflix. And it's about, you'll learn some knowledge about wine, you'll learn about family, and it'll just warm your heart all the way around. Again, Netflix, written, produced, and directed by Prentice Penny. Netflix. Uncorked, written, produced, and directed by Prentice Penny on Netflix, streaming right now. All right, so what do I want to talk about next? I think I want to talk a little bit about this film called Crip Camp. So when I was at Sundance, the opening night film of the festival was a film called Crip Camp, C-R-I-P, Camp. And I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if it was about the Crips. I didn't know if it was about the Crips and Compton. Like, I really didn't know what it was about. So I go in, and to my surprise, my lovely surprise, it was a film about a disabled, a camp for the disabled, a few miles away from Woodstock. And it follows the lives of these disabled people that attended this camp. And what it did was I never looked at someone that was disabled as different, because being Black and a woman in America, I was born different. So I never look at somebody as different or weird or strange just because they don't look like me or they don't sound like me or they don't act like me, because I know what that has felt like my entire life. And I feel like that would be less than stellar of me to do so. So I've never been that person. I've never felt that way. I've never treated people that way. So when I saw this documentary, I was like, wow, they had their own camp. I bet this was cool. And I watched it and it was cool. It's written and directed by Jim Lebrecht, who was one of the people that attended the camp. It shows these people having relationships and having heart and having lives. And they ended up being like these hardcore activists, which was freaking awesome. But it is streaming on Netflix right now, you guys. And if you want to be inspired in these troubled times, in these times that have us so unsure of what the future holds, Crip Camp is the perfect thing to watch to inspire you and lift up your heart and lift up your spirits. It will make your heart sing, I promise you. The next thing I want to talk about is something that won't necessarily make your heart sing, but it will make you feel some kind of way. So there's this film produced by, Full Moon Films. It's called Tape. And when I watched the trailer, I thought it was going to be a film about actresses auditioning. It's not a film about actresses auditioning as much as it is about this producer. He's an agent. This agent who literally is coercing and taking advantage of young, ambitious actresses by talking them into having sex with him on tape is the best way I can describe it. So when I saw this, I was reminded of a situation I had been in my young life, and I'll share that with you. So I worked on a cruise ship for a little while singing and dancing to save money for my tuition to graduate eventually from Howard University. And on the cruise ship as an entertainer, there would be different headliners that would come on. We had a different headliner every week. And this particular week, one of the headliners was really famous. And they invited a bunch of us that were in the show to come back to their cabin, where they proceeded to sit and tell us story after story after story. And the stories were fascinating. They were really quite engaging and entertaining. And so after a while, little by little, people started to leave. And I was like one of the last people to hang around and listen to these stories, because I was really engaged. And what happened was, me listening to these stories and becoming engaged quickly shifted into me almost getting raped. So I left crying, and I never told anybody really until now about that incident. So the same thing happened to Ana Rosa Mudd. She wasn't on a cruise ship, but she was coerced by this guy, and I want to tell you his name because he should never go remain nameless so that people are aware of who he is. His name was Bronson Luxier St. Seren. He's 41 years old. He lives in Brooklyn, and as early as March 3rd, he went to trial because apparently Ana Rosa Mudd was not the only person that he was pulling these shenanigans on. He was luring in these young, impressionable, ambitious actresses who, for whatever reason, couldn't catch a break, wanted a break, whatever the situation was. And this man made them believe that he could do something for them. And then once he gained their trust, would put them in a situation where he had what he called the protege program, and would put them in this room and have them have sex with him on tape, making them believe that they were opening up their acting choices by doing so. And I can't think of, and he did this for over 10 years before somebody finally blew the whistle on him and he ended up in court. I can't think of anything more despicable, but what I can say is I appreciate the fact that Deborah Campmeyer, who is the director, and Ana Rosa Mudd was gracious enough to share her story to put it on film. It is streaming right now. It was supposed to have a theatrical release like so many other films, but it got pushed back. So what Deborah and Ana Rosa are doing is they are streaming the film every day online through, I believe, April 9th. And then right after the streams online, they're doing a online discussion with Deborah, Ana Rosa, and some other filmmakers that maybe are in that space, or female filmmakers. So this past Saturday, which was yesterday, they had Numa Perrier, who has a film called Jezebel, which is about the sex working industry, of which she was a member of. And she made a film about that, and they played at South by Southwest last year and the Pan African Film Festival, for which she won a few awards. So it is streaming up online. That discussion is, you can catch that. They go, I think they stream via an app called Crowdcast. So after you've seen the film, you can go to Crowdcast, sign up, and go into the chat room and discuss in real time any thoughts that you have about the film. And I thought that that was a great way to allow other filmmakers, critics, and young women that may or may not have been in that situation to have a discussion with it while being safe at home, right? This is one of the first films that came out during the Me Too, hashtag Me Too, hashtag Time's Up era. So right at the beginning of when everything started to kick off is when this film came out. And I know there are some people watching this going, oh, another Me Too, Time's Up thing. There's never enough of those stories, because there have been a plethora of instances where this has gone down. I just told you about one that happened to me, and I never talked about it. I never said who the person was. I'll never say who they were, but yeah, it's a real situation and people need to be aware. So the film is called Tape. It is streaming right now. It stars Ana Rosa Mudd and Isabella Furman. And when I tell you, Ana Rosa Mudd is a brand new graduate from NYU, and her performance and Isabel's performance make this movie, especially Ana Rosa Mudd. What she does in this film is so intricate and so small and tiny that she draws you in every single solitary second that she's on the screen, which is the majority of the time. And Isabel draws you in with her vulnerability and her humility as this actress who's being preyed upon. So I can't impress upon you guys enough the fact that you should absolutely check this out. What else did I want to tell you? Oh, yeah. So let me tell you about, just to make you laugh, since I've had such a heavy subject right now. So I mentioned earlier in the broadcast that we did a thing with Tashina Arnold with Africa to talk about her two films. She has a film coming out called The Main Event and another one called Clover. And in Clover, she's like this gun-wielding badass, honey. And I was there for all of it. And The Main Event is a completely different film, completely different. But we talked to Tashina about those two films, her roles in those films. And then I asked her this question about code switching, because being on a show that is produced by a network that is mostly white people, are, you know, working on the production. Sometimes when we are around other people, not necessarily white people, but people that are not black, black people do what we call code switch. And all that means is we talk a different way with us than we talk with other people. So I asked Tashina if she ever found herself having a code switch on camera. Not on camera, in production at the show. And this is what she had to say.
Oh, okay. Let me tell you what I have on the show. And I'm gonna let y'all know, share a little private thing that we do on our set. I don't let white people huddle. I don't allow white people huddle. You know, I'm a jokester. I love having fun. And I'm a people person. And we have a very mixed crew. We got a lot of women on our team. We got a lot of men on our team. We got a little bit of everybody that makes the neighborhood happen. And I noticed, and just even as a little girl coming up in show business, I knew when white people huddled, there was going to be a major change or something was happening. Something was going to change and I had to be ready for whatever that change was. Well, I'm grown now. I'm a mother. I'm a grown-ass woman. I would like to say I'm a thespian now. I need to know what the hell is going on. So I join them. Whenever I see them huddling, I'm like, oh, ain't no black people here. There's a white people huddle. Let me come over here, because shit happens when white people huddle.
And when I tell you I looked like a bandit that morning, I did not look fluffy and light like I do right now. Let me tell you something. This podcast today gave me the impetus to get up, wash my butt, put some face on and some hair on, because that particular day I had washed my butt now, but I didn't have no makeup on and I was looking like a bandit and had my glasses on and it was just sad. So, but anyway, you can catch the full podcast that we did, the virtual podcast that we did, over at AFCA.com, AAFCA.com, or on any of the AFCA social media platforms, on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. And thanks, Tashina. It's always lovely to talk to you too. All right. So now let's talk about Blow the Man Down. I talked about Blow the Man Down last week and reviewed it, and I really love this movie because it was like that Coen Brothers meets Agatha Christie vibe. But what I mostly loved about it is that Margot Martindale was the star of the film, and we usually see her in a secondary role in films supporting and lifting up others, and this time everybody had to support and lift her up. But I did an interview with her. She was gracious enough to talk with me earlier in the week, and I spoke with her and was so happy to do so. And here are some excerpts from that conversation.
I love Enid, and I feel for Enid, and I find her strength and her vulnerability. She was really fun to play.
She must have been, because I was looking at Enid, and I thought, I don't recall ever seeing you do a role like this. When I wrote my review about the film, I said that usually when we see you in films, you are the supporting anchor of these huge, huge stars. And this film centers around you, and you're holding it down as opposed to supporting somebody else that's holding it down. And Enid is like the female Don Corleone of the Eastern Seaboard.
It's so true. I love that. I've never played a part like this. It was a welcome challenge, and to get the look right, the look of Enid, feel of Enid, the accent of Enid, I really enjoyed it so much.
And it wasn't so much what you said as you were portraying Enid as much as it was what you didn't say. Because those moments where you said absolutely nothing and you had that steely, determined, almost frightening look on your face, girl.
That's good. I think so much of film acting happens in the quiet.
Yeah, those moments are always really interesting to me.
Absolutely.
Those are the most interesting, telling, prolific, strong moments are the moments in the quiet. We have these powerhouse women that are not your friends, Annette O'Toole, June Squibb, and Marceline Hugo. And I was wondering if you'd ever worked with any of them before.
June and I have been next door neighbors in New York City for 30 years until she moved to Los Angeles. And also she played my mother on a sitcom.
Okay, that's hilarious.
And her son wrote a movie that's so good for June and me, and we've done a lot of backers auditions of that.
You know what? I worked with Miss June on a pilot called Living Biblically. And she's from the Midwest like me. I'm from Missouri. She's from Illinois. And we sat and we talked for hours about just being from the Midwest. I love her.
I know. June is a pistol.
She's a national treasure, as are you. Don't get me started, because you know I am like the president of the Margot Martindale fan club. I'm just saying.
Keep growing that fan club.
I know you have a new project coming out called Mrs. America, where you're playing Bella Abzug. Can you talk to me a little bit about that one?
Well, that's about the women's movement in the 70s, and it's very important. It's about the Equal Rights Amendment. I play Bella Abzug. Kate Blanchett plays Phyllis Schlafly. Tracy Ullman plays Betty Friedan. Rose Byrne plays Gloria Steinem. Uzo Aduba plays Shirley Chisholm. John Slattery and Sarah Paulson.
Wow, that's a big cast.
It's an incredible group. We had an incredible time. Directed mostly by all women. There is one man, Brian Fleck, who I adore. It was fun to socialize with all women. We had fun.
I'm really excited for women right now, especially women that aren't in their 20s. Because for the longest time in Hollywood, when you went to see a film, you either saw a coming-of-age teen film or you saw a woman in a film as the love interest to somebody that was 80 years old.
What I love about this film, Blow the Man Down, is that you have some really powerful older women and really powerful younger women. That is what it's so important, because it's not hitting the nail over the head. It just is. That's what it is. And I love that in this, in Blow the Man Down. I think it's great. June and Marceline and Annette O'Toole is that trio. Fabulous. I love the guys, but they're not running the town.
No, they're not. They're buffoons. And I kind of love that. Every woman in the film is smart in a different type of lane. Every last one of the characters is very smart. Like the sister with the cutting knife that she misplaces and that you find. She's smart because she had enough sense to know how to get that body up and out of there. The other sister was smart enough to know that if she didn't do something with that harpoon, it was going to go another way. The trio were smart enough to know that they had to find a way to bring you down or there will be no stopping you. But every single last woman knew exactly what it was they needed to do in order to get their goal accomplished, and they did not dawdle in the process of doing that. And I love that Bridget and Danielle were able to convey that in a film.
Yeah, I think they have an incredible future as filmmakers. I just think they're so talented. They have a style of their own. It's just beautiful.
They really are. It was like watching the Coen brothers and Agatha Christie, if they got married, have a baby. That's what it was like for me.
Well, nothing could be better than that.
Speaking of female filmmakers, this past awards season, I was very disenchanted and was extremely vocal about the fact that a lot of the female filmmakers did not get the acknowledgement I felt and so many others felt they deserved. I would love to know from you, what do you think that you, myself, and anyone else that loves these women's work, what can we do to place a bigger spotlight on their work as opposed to their gender?
That's what we're talking about, their work. It's all about looking at these two women, Bridget and Pretty. I love Little Women.
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Honey Boy with Alma Harrell. Those are three.
Yeah, right.
But there were seven different female filmmakers with really strong films that they either wrote and directed and produced. Laureen Scafaria for Hustlers.
Which I thought was wonderfully fun.
I did too. I know that we're all kind of stir crazy and in the house right now by no choice of our own. But since that is the case, what are you streaming right now?
News. I have not been able to let go of the date we're in. I'm reading. I've been watching some really old movies. We will get to a new television series. I just don't know which one to start with.
No worries. Which do you enjoy more, doing animated voices like in Cars and DuckTales or doing these Don Corleone-ish, badass, take charge characters like Enid and Blow the Man Down?
Well, I would have to go with Enid and Blow the Man Down, though doing BoJack Horseman and DuckTales has been a joy. And I also do a podcast. It's called I Spy. It's about real life spy. I love acting. It's joy for me.
And it's joy for us to watch you. It really, truly is. I'm so grateful and honored that you agreed to speak with me today. I cannot tell you how excited I was to talk to you because, as I mentioned in the beginning of the conversation, I am the president of the Margot Martindale Fan Club.
Like I said, you keep getting members. You keep getting members.
Oh, I will get members. Trust and believe. Trust and believe that.
Trust and believe.
Trust and believe.
You are smart and you're smart and you're such a delight. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been my absolute pleasure. Have a good rest of your day. Stay away from that TV set.
Okay, stay safe.
You too, my sister. Bye-bye.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Miss Margot. Oh my God, I love you so very much. And thank you to Amazon Studios for hooking this up for me. It really was the highlight of my week. I also want to talk about you know what else I want to say real quick before I move on? Margot Martindale, if you guys are not familiar, if you, after seeing her, you still not familiar with her, there was a movie that came out a couple of years ago called August Osage County, written by Tracy Letts. And Margot is in that film along with Meryl Streep and Tracy Letts. And if you're not familiar with Tracy Letts, I have an interview on The Curvy Critic with Carlo Annotta that I did with Tracy Letts right about the time Ford versus Ferrari dropped. So I will try to throw some excerpts of that up online so that you can hear that as well. And I'll just try in general to be a little bit better about throwing some clips up to entertain you guys and keep you guys out of your head and you know, being light and fluffy during this time. So what isn't light and fluffy is the adaptation of Celeste Ng's book, Little Fires Everywhere, which is streaming on Hulu. They have four episodes up right now. It's starring Kerry Washington and Reese Witherspoon. Baby, when I tell you, these dolls are letting us have it. And I had so much fun watching it. It's really been quite interesting to watch it. There's these two really strong women who have families in Shaker Heights, Ohio. And we get to see a little bit about how race plays into the Midwest, particularly in Shaker Heights. We get to see how when someone's past catches up with their present, we get to see how these two women are trying to navigate with and around each other, knowing that they're different, knowing that there's no love lost between them. And I just can't wait to see how it all unfolds. But if you're looking for something to stream, Stream Little Fires Everywhere on Hulu. It's thebomb.com. It is thebomb.com. It's really quite stellar. I would highly suggest watching it if you have the opportunity to do so. So let me find some news for y'all real quick. I pulled up a couple of things that I saw. So I noticed that Johnny Depp's, you know, he's been having this defamation character case. It's been going on and on and on and on and on and on. He has, with his legal action against Rupert Murdoch's own tabloid on hold in the UK due to the coronavirus lockdown, Johnny Depp saw Amber Heard's move to effectively steamroll his $50 million defamation suit against her hit a significant roadblock. So basically what happened was the defendant demur is sustained as to the fourth statement listed above, which I just stated, but is overruled as the other three statements, which we don't know what those are, is turning this whole thing into a messy battle. So that defamation suit has been dismissed so far, and they're looking to do some other things with that. Focus Features Sundance winner, Never Rarely, Sometimes Always. And I have an interview with Eliza Hittman that I am going to put up online. I aired it here already. I think during the first week the coronavirus hit and had asked people to stay at home, I aired it here on Black Hollywood Live. But I will put it up again, probably in like my Instagram, my IGTV, so that you guys can watch it there. But Eliza Hittman's Never Rarely, Sometimes Always is going to hit homes early. It's going to hit homes starting Friday, April 3rd. A lot of the studios are throwing their films up, allowing you to watch video on demand for $19.99. So a few weeks ago, the Universal Pictures did it with The Hunt and with The Invisible Man, and now Focus Features is doing it with Never Rarely, Sometimes Always. China has ordered a closing of all of their cinemas. I don't know why they weren't closed before, but okay. They ordered a closing of all of their cinemas. We want to say goodbye to, not goodbye, I want to say that the Aretha Franklin biopic Respect. Now, there's two biopics. There's the one with Cynthia Erivo on Nat Geo, and then there's the one with Jennifer Hudson. So the one with Jennifer Hudson is slated to roll out around Christmas. We still don't have any news about the one on Nat Geo with Cynthia Erivo, but when I get that information, I will bring that your way as well. What else do we have here? Oh, yes. The Broadway's Carol. So, you know, I'm a Broadway baby. I always talk about being on Broadway. And it's not because I'm bragging. It's because it was something that I was really proud of and that I really, really love. But there are the closings and the postponements affected the movie industry, and now it's affecting live theater. So Broadway's Carolina Change, the revival of Janine Tesori and Tony Kushner's musical starring Sharon D. Clarke, and Birthday Candles, the Noah Heidel play starring Deborah Messing, have been postponed until the fall. Both of these productions are roundabout theater company productions that were slated to open this spring. So there's that. Let me see. I think there's some other things. There hasn't been a whole lot going on. They say that Wonder Woman 1984 is still going theatrical, but now it's going to happen on August 14th. And Scoob and In the Heights are undated for the moment because they were slated to open over the summer as well. I do have some really good news, though, and this is the best news of all. So I love TCM, Turner Classic Movies. It's my jam. It's my jam. So two things about TCM. The Turner Classic Movie Festival, along with some other film festivals, got postponed or canceled. And what they're going to do is they're going to do an on-screen version of, not on-screen, they're going to do an online version of it is what they're going to do. So beginning April 16th through April 19th, they're going to have some films showing online. If you go to the TCM, if you go to filmfestival.tcm.com, you can get the whole special home edition scheduled there. But they're showing some really great films like the 1954 version of A Star is Born starring Janet Gaynor. I've seen all of the versions of A Star is Born, so this will be great for people that haven't seen it. The second night, they're going to show they're going to have a plethora of things ranging from Sounder to Alfred Hitchcock's North by Northwest to Some Like It Hot, and so on and so forth. But you got, let me see, what else? Oh, here's some more. They're going to show Grey Gardens on April 17th. On April 18th, they're going to show They Live by Night and Mad Love. Faye Dunaway is going to be live. I'm guessing she's going to stream in. They're doing a whole thing for Norman Lloyd, who's a silent film star is what I meant to say. They're doing Lawrence of Arabia. They're doing Peter Toole. They're streaming him live, and they're showing Redheaded Woman. So again, the Turner Classic Film Festival is doing a special home edition where they are going to stream live from April 16th to April 19th. AFCA is going to do another virtual roundtable. This time we're going to do it with Courtney B. Vance, as I said. Courtney B. Vance is in Uncorked, which is streaming on Netflix right now. And he's also in the National Geographic version of Genius Aretha, which I also just discussed. So I think that's it for this edition, you guys. You can catch me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can catch me right after this over at the GH Report doing General Hospital, all things General Hospital in Port Charles with Frank Moran. You can catch the written version of my reviews at thecurvyfilmcritic.com always, and you can subscribe there and get alerts and notifications for that that site as well. But in the meantime, please stay safe. Please wash your hands. Please don't go out unless you absolutely necessarily have to for medical reasons or just to get some grocery shopping done. I will be here with you guys every... That's my phone going off. I will be here with you guys every Sunday at 5:00 just to help the time go faster. So until the next time, love, peace, and hair grease, and I'll see you on the flip side. Bye.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.